The difficulty that national security whistleblowers face is not unique to the United States. Other countries around the world treat their national security whistleblowers harshly, especially when those whistleblowers reveal evidence of war crimes. One of the best and most recent examples is from Australia, where David McBride, a former Australian Army attorney, is facing criminal charges because of his revelations that Australian soldiers committed war crimes and crimes against humanity in Afghanistan. McBride, a decorated combat veteran, now faces the prospect of spending much of the rest of his life in prison. I'm John Kiriakou, and you're watching The Whistleblowers. David McBride is one of those rare whistleblowers who did exactly what he was trained to do when witnessing evidence of a crime. He went through his chain of command. But when his chain of command refused to do anything to investigate his allegations, he went to the media. The resulting outcry led to something called the Brereton Commission, led by Major General Justice Paul Brereton of New South Wales, who led an investigation into McBride's allegations. Not only did Justice Brereton find that everything David McBride said was true, he recommended that no charges be filed for McBride's decision to go to the media. And what was it that David McBride alleged? He said that while he was serving in the Australian Army as an attorney, he saw that 25 Australian soldiers were responsible for the cold-blooded murder of 39 Afghan civilians. The soldiers then planted weapons on the dead bodies in order to photograph evidence to justify the killings in something they called throwdowns. David McBride did the right thing. The Brereton Commission says so. The Australian media says so. The Australian public says so. So why does the government insist on prosecuting him? We're joined by whistleblower David McBride. David, welcome to the show. So glad to have you.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor.
Thank you. The pleasure's ours. Let's start at the beginning. You have a personal history of public service. You attended Sydney University and then earned a second degree at Oxford. You joined the British Army and served in Germany before attending the elite Royal Military Academy at Sandhurst. You then commanded a platoon in Northern Ireland. After a period in the private sector, you returned to Australia and you joined the army there as an attorney. You then served two tours in Afghanistan and earned a combat service medal. It was during your time in Afghanistan that you saw evidence of war crimes. You reported those crimes through the proper channels. And then what happened?
Well, it was quite surprising. They didn't want to know about it. Mm-hmm. Quite clearly, I became the problem. And that is one of the things, I guess, that a lot of whistleblowers find. If what you're reporting is really bad, the organization you're reporting it to probably already knew, and they don't want, all you've done is reveal yourself as a problem. And I became the hunted. And that was, I guess it wasn't that surprising because I knew the leadership were involved. I knew the leadership, this could not have happened without the generals at least having some idea of what was going on. And I had to make my internal complaint to those very same generals who had some idea of what was going on. So I had a feeling it wouldn't go well, but I still, as a lawyer, I knew that I had to make the internal complaint. Otherwise, they would, I really would be, I could go straight to jail. I was quite surprised, and you may have had the same problem in your own case.
Yes.
I was quite surprised to find out how deep the problem was. I thought that I would get a pat on the back eventually, that some judicial figure would hear about it or some senior retired military person would hear about it and they would go into bat for me and say, hang on, this is exactly the opposite of what we are meant to be doing. But that never happened. And the problem is pretty deep.
You're exactly right. In my own case, when I first complained internally, I became known as the human rights guy. And a friend of mine came to me privately and said, buddy, that's not a compliment. they're not complimenting you when they call you the human rights guy. And indeed, after having led the capture of the third ranking official in Al-Qaeda, I was turned down for promotion because they said at my promotion panel I had demonstrated a shocking lack of commitment to counterterrorism because I declined the torture training. So it's the same the same situation that you went through. You go through your chain of command, and it turns out it's your chain of command that either is committing the crime or covering up for the crime. So let me ask you this. The decision to go to the media must not have been an easy one. It wasn't in my own case. When I decided to blow the whistle on the CIA's torture program, I couldn't go through channels because my channels had created the torture program. I couldn't even go to Congress because Congress had secretly authorized and funded the torture program. My only choice was the media. Was that your calculation? Did you not get satisfaction from any of the official channels that you went through?
It's exactly the same, and I can't tell you how good it is for me to hear your story. I was vaguely aware of it. But as you know, and again, it's good for me to see you on this TV program because it's an extremely lonely road.
Yes.
You're not sure you're going to make it. And to see someone else, I was the same. They smeared me so much. I should have been promoted too, in the sense that I had completed all the things that you're meant to complete. You don't get assigned to the special forces unless you are one of the top performers. And I had ticked all the boxes. I'd been recommended for promotion. You know, I had a very, very strong history in that I'd been a commander of soldiers in a war zone, which not many lawyers have done. And I was at Oxford University, which no one had done. I'd had a paper published. So all the things that should have got you promoted. But yeah, and what annoyed me, and this would have annoyed you, it would have been okay, I guess, if we'd always said, we're the bad guys, you know, we don't care about rights, we don't care about the law, you know, we just want to win, and everything's a joke. But we were taught day in, day out about the terrible things that happened in Yugoslavia, how people didn't stand up in Srebrenica, about how terrible the Nazis were, about how the law was so important. And that really stuck in my throat, to say, hang on, you can't have it both ways. You cannot beat us around the head with doing the right thing, and then when I try to do the right thing, you try to put me in jail. The only organization that would do that is a very evil organization, a criminal organization.
Help us understand the timeline here. You reported your findings to your superiors years before going through the media. Was it only after going to the media that the Brereton Commission began investigating your findings?
Yeah. They say it's not connected, but yeah, I was the first person to start making waves internally. And I guess I think what is even more shocking in Australia, I don't know how long it took you to get media interest. And I used to always, one of the things I used to hold up was the Watergate scandal and Bernstein and Woodward and all the president's men. Mm-hmm. These were the sort of things which I thought, oh, wow, that's what I'm looking for. As you get a bit older, you realize that there was a fair bit of Democrats versus Republicans and in those things,
right.
rather than just this is the right thing to do. And but of course, I was quite naive in Australia, but it was hard to get media interest. This was too big. If you had a story about a soldier raping someone or a story about a single killing of a non-entity, you might get it to run. But a story which is big about generals and probably ministers, politicians involved in, no one wanted to touch it. And unfortunately, I think we've had media, a regressive media evolution, in that now the major media companies are very corporatized. I don't know that they'd ever run a Watergate type story today, because the media companies are so in bed with the government. They get tax concessions, they rely on the government to survive, and running a really big story, which even, it's not the whole government you're against, but to say key people in the government have behaved in a criminal way, they just didn't want to know. And even the first journalist I saw was the sort of Australian equivalent of Bernstein or Woodward. And even he was happy to run a sort of bad soldier's story, but he wasn't getting India to eventually run that. But he wasn't really, and he was already on that case, but a bad government story, that was a bit too hot for people to handle.
I want to ask you about Justice Brereton. His conclusions really were quite dramatic. He found that everything that you had said had been true. He found that war crimes had been committed. He noted that none of the soldiers implicated in the murders of civilians had been prosecuted. And then he urged that you not be charged with any crime. Why then has the Australian government been so adamant in pursuing you? It seems that with public pressure and with a new government in Canberra, you would be rewarded rather than prosecuted. What happened?
I think probably a bit like your case, but the problem is bigger than people realise. Mm-hmm. Australia is a member of something called, you will know well, Five Eyes.
That's right.
and we are a member of something called AUKUS. I am just painted as a sort of enemy of the state, if you like it. They don't really care whether I'm right or wrong, and I guess they are worried if they play it in this sort of Chicago game theory sort of thing. They don't know how many more McBrides there are out there. They probably said the same thing to you. This is probably how they justified prosecuting you, to say, oh, if we let him off, how many more are going to come?
Exactly, what else
is going to come out?
Exactly right.
And who else is going to end up in jail? You know, we need to stomp on this guy for the future. It's like Assange. I mean, no one was really prosecuted for Assange's revelations. And so they can't really, it's not really a matter of revenge. It's a matter of we can't afford this to happen in the future, because if everybody finds out how we do our magician tricks, we are in trouble. And I think it's because now that the US controls Australia, certainly for national security matters, and the US is saying, you've got to make an example of this guy, because if this guy gets up, what about Assange? What about Assange 2.0?
That's right.
We need to crush these guys. We need to sort of put their heads on poles outside the fortress to say, do not cross us. It doesn't matter whether you think you're right. You will lose. These are all things above your pay grade. They haven't charged anybody as a result of Brereton, but I'm likely going to go to jail. None of it makes sense.
No.
If the media weren't so sort of, beholden to the government, someone would be saying, in the 1970s Washington Post, someone would be saying this is wrong.
That's right.
And they wouldn't get away with it. But unfortunately, times have changed. I think now the public, as you said, the public are on side, and now my best weapon, it seems, when we had an initial hearing, I used to look at the US hearings and the ones that you had to go through and think, oh my God, I would never win in that kind of hearing, but at least I've got a chance in Australia because I've got a public interest defence to say this information was in the public interest. And the government have admitted it was a public interest story, because they ended up putting out a statement saying we're not going to charge the ABC journalists who ran the story because it was a public interest story. Now, that means it's been established as a public interest story. So I thought I was going to win. But unfortunately, they have invoked the old national security card. And now...
Right, that's what they always do.
The rumor is it's from America. That's here I was thinking that I could somehow start to get your legal process fairer. The opposite has happened. And while we're not even allowed to say it, I'm at risk of getting arrested for it. We just have to say, in muted terms, our international partners have said that the information that I want to use in my defense is too dangerous, even for the judge to hear.
That's what they always do. All they do, they walk into court and they say national security, and they try to shut down your defense. They try to prohibit you from using exactly the information that you need to justify your righteous actions. David, please stay with us. We have to take a commercial break. You're watching The Whistleblowers. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back for more of our conversation with Australian whistleblower David McBride. Inside. Stay tuned.
Summer, the melting Arctic snow reveals abandoned machinery, millions of rusty barrels, and the detritus left by human expansion into this most inaccessible of territories.
Я, конечно, был в шоке, как можно было так засраться по самые помидоры. Это просто печальное зрелище.
Volunteers from Clean Arctic travel to Heise Island, home to the biggest polar station on the Franz Josef Land archipelago.
Сера, грязь непролазная. Боже мой, я тут еще целый месяц.
У меня были первые мысли. Нас обманули, нам подсунули какой-то самый стрёмный остров во всем архипелаге.
Это одна из самых северных земель на нашей планете, от которой до Северного полюса примерно 1000 километров.
The Arctic pioneers' main objective was to explore and conquer these harsh lands. They had no time to think about waste management. Now their legacy could remain for centuries.
Как мы, наверное, человечество в целом выглядим, наверное, нелицеприятно. Такое чувство, что мы засрём эту планетку, а потом полетим куда-то делать это еще.
Чистый север, чистая Арктика!
We're speaking with Australian National Security whistleblower David McBride, who revealed evidence of war crimes committed by Australian troops in Afghanistan and is being prosecuted for his revelations. David, I've seen in both the Australian press and in the British press that you have widespread support, not just from average people and from peace activists, but from attorneys and elected officials in both countries who say that you are an example of the kind of national security whistleblower who should be lauded for his revelations. What is it that the Australian government is stuck on? Is it that the information that you gave to the media was technically classified? Is that what this is about?
I think they're just trying to make an example of me.
Yeah.
They say that, yes, that's what their argument is. But if you drill down into it, it doesn't make sense. This is most of the stuff that I gave to the press was simply reports of people getting shot in Afghanistan on a mountain, you know, over 10 years ago now. It's a war that we publicly acknowledge, obviously. We're not like pretending we weren't there. There's been lots of books written about it. There's been movies about it. There's been a defamation case by a famous equivalent of a Medal of Honor winner. Wow. Who was accused of being a war criminal, and he by a newspaper, and he sued them, and subsequently they brought out all the witnesses, all the special forces witnesses, and they were discussed in open court. Apart from the names were protected, like special forces operations are. But what went on has already been discussed in open court, and none of the information in my case is any more serious than that. Nothing is about any kind of weapons codes or weapons right. capabilities. It's all about who shot who on a mountain in Afghanistan and who knew what and when they knew it. That's not national security, that's national embarrassment. And they are trying to say, oh, it's so super, super secret, but it doesn't make sense because it's all been published already.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly so, but one of the problems is you've got, we've already discussed it, if they just insist to the judge, oh, look, no, we can't even tell you why, but this is just so super, super secret, there's not much the judge can do. He can't even say, well, sure, you know, you need to prove that to me. It doesn't sound super secret and doesn't sound like things we don't already know.
Right.
But they just keep insisting and saying, we can't even explain to you why it's so, so, so important. I mean, we won't even release, this is how pathetic Australia is, We won't even release the details of the fact that we were involved in the coup in Chile, which installed Pinochet over Allende in the 70s.
Wow.
The CIA have released some sort of details about that operation.
That's true.
Yeah, and Australians won't. You know, 50 years later, we're like, no, that's too secret. You know, that affects us. And it's pretty pathetic. And they're just using it as a weapon. And it's a weapon, I think, that they're just angry that I cross them, so they say. There's no sense of guilt that they cross me, in the sense that they broke all the oaths to their country, to the law, to ethics, to military honour. They broke all of those. No, they don't care about that. They think I broke their rules. They don't accept that if they break the law and if they cover up murders, they're going to be outed. They're just this sort of petty bureaucrats on a mission of revenge, and they're using the law as an excuse to get revenge on me.
David, your attorneys and others say that it is unfathomable that with all the information that has finally made it into the public domain, that you're still going through the nightmare of a trial. Justice Brereton wrote this, quote, "Perhaps the single most effective indication that there is a commitment to cultural reform is the demonstration that those who have been instrumental in the exposure of misconduct or are known to have acted with propriety and probity are regarded as role models," unquote. That seems crystal clear to me, and it sounds like a good defense. So where do you think this case goes from here?
Oh, I think I'll go to trial, and I think I'll be convicted. I think because once if you get to control what evidence goes in, you will always win. funnily enough, even though my enemies say, oh, it's all national security, it's all national security, occasionally they say something is national security, which helps their case and doesn't help my case. Go figure. You know, they really are quite pathetic. The terrible thing is they're going to get away with it. I think what they're not going to get away with is putting me in jail for 20 years because the public and people around the world are going to go, really? This absolute embarrassment for the Western world called the Global War on Terror, which killed 1 million people. And we did torture and we denied it. And there are so many things wrong. We disgraced ourselves. And there's a couple of people that are going to jail. You'd be one of them. I'd be one of them. And no one who actually did all the really bad things is going to jail or even had their career slightly.
Right.
And McBride is going to go to jail. Like, it was all his fault.
That's what
I don't think the public are going to.
Yeah. David,
they're not going.
Your case is so well known. Have you had the support of whistleblower organizations in Australia or even abroad? Have you been able to get some help from them to get your side of the story into the public eye? Where else has your core support come from?
Just everyday people. I have had whistleblower support. Again, you would have found the same. I never really saw myself as a whistleblower. And you don't really it's kind of a funny thing. You don't know. I don't want to, you know, get involved with whistleblowers. They complain. But when you meet them, of course, they're all really good people. And they're just like you. And that actually helped my case quite a bit because might have been the same. If they can single you out, that they will paint you as a disgruntled, miserable person, blah, blah, blah. But there was a whistleblower who blew the whistle on the banking system in Australia, and there was a Royal Commission, and the Royal Commission showed that the banking system was, just as he said, totally corrupt. There was a whistleblower on the money laundering and gambling who, again, a bit like me, and said there were all sorts of rules about how to avoid money laundering and casinos and et cetera. And he said, we're not following any of them. It's a joke. And again, he's been proved to be right. Together we are strong. There was another guy who was a detective, and he was, again, like me, he had an impeccable record as a detective. And he said he exposed the cover-up of sexual abuse in a lot of institutional homes for children.
Oh, boy.
And he was proved right. We had a Royal Commission. Yeah, very, very dark stuff. And not just the original abuse, but the fact that senior figures in the government, it makes me sick even to say it, were actually actively involved in covering it up. That is pretty disturbing. Now, but together we are strong, you know, and that's that really right. helps. And people, are, the average person's like, really? They're all making it up? They're all bad people. And so it's helped me. And there was another guy, Bernard Collieri. The charges were dropped against him. And he did the same thing. He exposed the fact that Australian security services, you know, our CIA equivalent, mm-hmm. Went and bugged another country's offices, not for any strategic or military benefit, but to actually give the information to an Australian-based oil company so the oil company could make bigger profits. And he got convicted, you know, the spy got convicted, and he's like, really? And he was like, you can't use our secret security services for commercial advantage. And he was the one that ended up in jail. And they said, actually, basically, the judge said, the security services can kill people totally illegally, and the only person that's ever going to go to jail is the whistleblower. Now, that's obviously wrong. And eventually, the charges against the lawyer who helped bring that to light were dropped. But it shows that something's not right in the state of Australia. Yes. And there are so many of us pointing things out. And I do get a lot of, but people are scared. I mean, not quite rightly. The government's tactics are working. A lot of stories, journalists tell me, a lot of whistleblowing stories have been shelved because people are scared. And so the government's tactics are working in some ways. And that's why it's so important for me to keep a smile on my face, mm-hmm. to me to look like they're not getting me down. They'd that's love right. me to go into court, a broken man, hunched over and, you know, looking sick. They would love that. They would love me to commit suicide out of the pressure. I think they would actually uncork champagne bottles if I committed to it. They would just love it. They are that kind of people. They are so determined mm-hmm. to protect their salaries and their, you know, their lunch money that they will drive me and my, I've got two teenage daughters, you know, they don't care whether they end up without a father. That is how, you know, despicable these Australian bureaucrats are. Well, and but I have to keep smiling because I'm an example to other yes. people who will come after me.
Yes,
and other
yes.
people who will come after me.
That's an important point.
And like you
point.
Said, I'm...
That's an important point.
You
didn't consider yourself to be a whistleblower. I said the same thing. You're the poster boy for whistleblowers. And so we want to wish you the very, very best of luck. David McBride, thank you so much for joining us. That's all we have for you today. I'm John Kiriakou, and this has been The Whistleblowers.